Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. So there's this incredible movie called 28 Days Later. It is a post-apocalyptic zombie movie. And I love zombie movies. I don't love all zombie movies because a lot of zombie movies aren't very good. But this is an awesome zombie movie for a lot of reasons. It's just it's an incredible story. It's as probably realistic as a zombie movie can be, but the whole deal is that the main character wakes up in a hospital after being in a coma, and there's just nobody around, and he starts to navigate this empty city. I'm pretty sure it's in London, and there's just no people anywhere. And then he encounters some other humans and some zombies, and they set out on this adventure of trying to figure out what's going on. Awesome movie. Check it out. If you've not, I think it's from 2002. So here we are. This is, I'm recording this on election day, and I'll release it here later today. And I really hope that the election is decided tonight. I hope that we have a clear winner one way or another, because I'm fascinated and concerned about what's going to happen either way. Fascinated and concerned what's going to happen if Trump wins. I'm fascinated and concerned what's going to happen if Biden wins. And I guess that I'd rather deal with the consequences of just ripping the Band-Aid off and knowing one way or another versus if this thing drags on for 28 days, weeks, months. I think that'll be way worse for the country and for you and for I. But that's not necessarily what I wanted to talk about today. I just wanted to find some kind of clever way to kick off our conversation. I thought, well, you know what movie's awesome? 28 Days Later. You know how long this actual election could take? Well, who knows? 28 days, weeks, months, whatever. So here we are. Enjoying 2020, making our way through 2020, one of the worst years probably on record, maybe on record in human history, even though it's been a lot of crappy stuff going on, but a lot of good stuff going on. I think that one of the things that it's really important to step back and to consider, to think about, to recognize is that right now, you and I, if you are in the United States of America, we are living in the greatest place in the history of the world for every kind of person, right here, right now. And it doesn't seem like it if you were to watch the news, and it doesn't seem like it if you're on social media. But that is the fact. That is the reality, is that by every measurable thing, by every measurable, quantifiable, fact-based thing, metric, number, this is the best place in the world that's ever been. For men, for women, for children, for senior citizens, for white people, for black people, right here, right now, this is the best time, this is the best place. We can argue about that. We can just look at the facts. You can look at Steven Pinker's book, his most recent work, that really went through what I just described. It's the facts. It's the numbers. And I think that we need to recognize, I need to recognize that the only way to fuck this up is to keep going down the path that we seem to be going down. That we're actually having a conversation about civil war in 2020 in the United States of America is fucking preposterous. It is preposterous. It is ridiculous. And it's all because we are not recognizing or being mindful or seeing the blatant, obvious truth of what social media and the media is doing to us. It's fucking with our heads. It's fucking with the United States of America. The rest of the world's looking at us like, what are you doing? What is going on there? And this is not a Republican or Democrat conversation. This is just, we need to start recognizing what's going on here. This new movie just came out, a docudrama. It's called The Social Dilemma. And this gentleman, Tristan Harris, who worked at Google or Facebook or one of those companies, and he's now been a major advocate for just recognizing the damage that social media is doing to us. And it's doing incredible damage to us. It's tearing families apart. It's tearing communities apart. It's tearing our country apart. And it's all bullshit. Check out the movie and then start to recognize what social media is doing to you. If you need to cut the cord, if you need to get off those platforms, then you need to do it. I know I did. Sure, I have a Facebook account, but I don't spend time on there. Yeah, I have Twitter, but I don't spend time on there. Why? Because there's no fucking value to it. Zero value to it. I spent earlier this year, and this year has all run together for sure, but this year has, I was on Twitter like every night. I don't post on Twitter really. I push the show out and all that stuff, but I would just read, and I was trying to make heads and tails of what was going on in the world, trying to get real information on what's going on in the world. But it just invariably would just get me all twisted up, like all shaken up. It's like if somebody picked me up and shook me like I was a soda can. And then I would, you know, want to engage my poor wife about some issue that I had read about, and she'd be like, "Oh, great, here we go again." So there's no value. We need, you and I need to, you need to, we need to get back in the habit of making up our own minds and not let some fuck faces with their clickbait profit motive nonsense do it. Shame on Fox News. Shame on CNN. Shame on the New York Times. Shame on all of these outlets. And I get it. If they're interested in staying in business, then it's that whole, what was that movie with Kelsey Grammer? If it bleeds, it leads. That was like 20, 30 years ago. Well, it's true. I mean, in order for them to stay relevant, they need to create salacious headlines and to be polarizing and to keep spoon feeding us conflict and more conflict. And social media figure that out. They're not sharing uplifting, wonderful, heartwarming stories with you. They're feeding you more nonsense, more bullshit. Oh, you wanted to learn about Antifa? Oh, here's some more bullshit. You wanted to learn about the Proud Boys, here's some more bullshit. Oh, you wanted to learn about white supremacy? Here's some more bullshit. You wanted to learn about Black Lives Matter? Oh, here's some more bullshit. I'm not calling those organizations bullshit. I'm just saying that instead of, they're just going to keep escalating you. Social media is going to keep escalating you. CNN is going to keep escalating you. Fox is going to keep escalating you because they want to keep you on the platform. They understand that the emotion of surprise is very, very powerful. When they can shock and surprise you, you're going to stay. You're going to keep watching. So social media is one car accident after another. And by the way, just stop looking at the freaking car accidents on the side of the road. Stop doing it. Just knock it off. Something bad happened, just keep your eyes forward. You don't need to look. And if everybody did that, we'd just have nice orderly traffic, and the and the poor person who got in a car accident doesn't have to have everybody stare at them. But I digress. So we need to get back to figuring out for ourselves what the truth is, what the facts are. So instead of reading the headline or the first paragraph of an article, if you're going to read an article because it's clickbait, well, then read it all the way through and make sure that you're understanding what's being expressed. But then do your own research. I'm surprised that I'm not familiar with, or at least super familiar with, this idea of first principles. But I just, somebody was talking about it on a podcast I was listening to, I think yesterday or maybe even today. And they were talking about thinking from first principles. And so I searched that, and all this really cool stuff popped up. And most notably talking about Elon Musk and how he, in founding Tesla and SpaceX, instead of thinking from analogy, like, let's create the Cadillac of rocket ships or the Facebook for XYZ. That's thinking from analogy. And just because it works for whatever analogy that you want to use, let's create the Uber for ice cream, whatever, does not mean that it's going to work for what you're trying to accomplish. And so instead of Elon Musk just trying to figure out how to create a new car company in a certain way, he used his first principles and used critical questioning to challenge existing assumptions and really dig down to the building blocks that the assumptions that you're using are based on. And those building blocks are what are known as first principles. So instead of thinking about, I'm trying to start this rocket company to go to Mars, I guess I need to go buy a rocket, and a rocket costs $100 million. He thought, well, no, what I want to do is figure out how much the metal costs, what kind of metal I need to use that's going to work in space, how much it costs, then I need to figure out. And he just went at it that way. And that's the same way that he made Tesla. And it's obviously worked out really well for him. So challenging assumptions, challenging what's going on in the country, challenging everything, and getting down to what's true, what are the fundamental principles. It's like when my kid is asking me why, he is asking me the right questions. Why is this the way that it is? Oh, it's because it's the way that it's always been. Is that the accurate answer? And maybe I'll say that after four or five iterations of the same question, because I'm sick of having the conversation with them and explaining everything. But that is truly where we need to get back to. Maybe not quite as obnoxious or irritatingly, but we need to get back to that and questioning things. Why are you voting Democrat today? Why are you voting Republican today? And by the way, stop telling me to vote. The world. Jeez, I'm sick of it. If I hadn't already voted, I might consider not voting just because I'm so sick of everybody telling me to vote. Vote, vote, vote. Yeah, I get it. I've been voting since I was 18 years old. I voted in every single election. Anyway, so getting down to those first principles, why is it that you have always voted Democrat or Republican? It's because that's how we were raised. Because my family voted Democrat because we're from Minnesota. And in Minnesota, that's, it's predominantly Democrat. Oh, okay. And you just keep going down and down and down and down and deeper and deeper and deeper and start questioning, okay, well, does that really line up to what my first principles are? And I don't know the answer to that question. So as we are, again, in this really, really important time, why are you making the decisions? Why are you thinking the thoughts that you are thinking? Why is it that you currently believe that? Why is it that you currently believe whatever you believe? It doesn't really matter to me. That abortion is right or it's wrong, that we should or shouldn't have guns, that America is racist or it's not racist, that America is white supremacist or it's not white supremacist. That XYZ. For every one of those things, question. Get down to what the first principles are. Do your best to figure out the truth and the facts. Because if we can't agree that there are, in fact, facts, well, then we're fucked. The whole thing about facts, I talked about this recently, is that we need to have an agreed upon set of facts. This is the way that things are. And then you can take your values and place those values upon those facts and make judgments on it. I can take my values and put them on those agreed upon facts and make judgments on those. And then we can have a conversation about it. We can talk about it. But without commonly agreed upon facts, well, we are, again, totally fucked. What makes America, America, are beliefs that we share. Common beliefs in ideals. We can come at these then from different attitudes and different backgrounds and different countries and languages and everything. We can be different in every single way, but we have to share common beliefs in ideals. That we have freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly. That we have the right to keep and bear arms. That we have freedom from unreasonable searches and seizures. We have the right to due process of law, freedom from self-incrimination, double jeopardy, that there are rights of accused persons to a speedy and just public trial. We have the right of a jury. We have the right from freedom from excessive bail and cruel and unusual punishments. Those sound familiar. Obviously, those are parts of the Bill of Rights. And I also think that we need to agree that America is a wonderful place and it's worth fighting for. Fighting for, not fighting against, not fighting against one another, not threatening and taking physical violence on people because you disagree with things that they're saying, with things that they're thinking. That is preposterous. We need to stop this. So, again, whatever happens today, whatever happens tomorrow, hopefully we have resolution. Take it upon yourself to start doing more critical thinking, to start utilizing first principles and getting down to the root of why you're thinking about what you're really thinking about. Whenever you see a problem, start addressing it and be reasonable about it. Stop being so hostile to other people. Start being kinder to people, recognizing that maybe somebody's just a little further ahead or a little bit behind, but that we're on the same path as Americans, and that we have those common beliefs in that shared vision of what it really means to be an American. Because we all know what that means. And if you don't, well, then you utilize first principles and get yourself a history book and dig deep down into why it is that we are the way that we are. And why we are and have been such a wonderful place to live. And why today, in the United States of America, it's the best time for every kind of person. Better than any other time, any other place in the history of the world. And then we need to move on and stop thinking about politics 24/7. Stop obsessing about it. Start focusing on the things that you have control and influence over. Start focusing on how you can make your life better. What can you do right now, today, to make your life better? How can you make the life of your loved ones better, your spouse, your kids, your partner? How can you make the lives of people in your community better, your city, your state? If you do that, it's going to work out great for everybody. Do your part by doing your best. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.